Shabbos, Daf, Kuf, Lamed, Omer, Aleph. We have a fascinating Gemara here. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, who wants to do this? Go ahead, Avi.
Okay.
I can't promise
this. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel,
yeah?
Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Kol Mitzah, Shikiglu, Alehem, Besimcha, Kigon Mila. So all the mitzvahs that we accepted with happiness, like for example Mila.
How did we accept Bris Mila with happiness?
Says
who?
Avram was masking with
okay, what does Rashi say? Amira Yechida Shekidma Lishar Amiros. It's the first mitzvah we ever got. Sort of. Vihim Mila She Yisrael Osin Vesas Malayim de Choshar Mitzvos Inan Mochichos. All other mitzvos that we have, we can't point to them at all times. The bris mila, you can't get rid of it. It's there all the time. Now, you might not want to show it to anybody, but the point is that all other mitzvos are momentary. Right? Even your tefillin, which you're supposed to wear all day, it's only during the daytime. At nighttime, it's not going to work. But bris mila, you have it with you all the time. That brings you a level of simcha, especially if you're an immature middle schooler, high schooler. Talk about bris mila. This you could always say, I have a mitzvah with me at all times, and that should bring us simcha. Some people look at this Gemara and say that this is the source for requiring simcha at a bris. How do you do simcha at a bris? Have a meal. So how are you makayim simcha? At a meal? Every time you have a meal. For Yontif, you have Yontif meal. Bas for Yayin. So some say, some pass, and that you should have meat at a bris meal, a Sudas bris meal. Mm-hmm, have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure
all the Stevens
boys, yeah. All the Stevens have salami with their eggs in the morning at a bris. So some people are makronim, some people aren't, because we know that Simcha, especially even when it comes to Yontif, is defined differently, right? This is Rabbi Shmuel Kresh talked about at Shavuos night here in the shul, that the Simchas Yontif could be fulfilled through whatever means a person gets Simcha from. That's their Simchas Yontif. So for women, that means jewelry and new clothes, and for kids, that means toys and candy. And for men, that means meat, if they like meat. Maybe Sfarim, whatever it might be. So that's their Simcha. So that's how some people look at this Gemara. And there are other midrashim that Rashi quotes and Tosfos disagrees with. So based on the pasuk in Vayera, we learn that he made a mishtah. He made a mishtah when he did bris mila for Yitzchak. Okay, moving on, Avi, go ahead. Right, he continues doing it, b'simcha. Keep going, b'chol mitzvah.
B'chol mitzvah, shekablu aleihem b'ketata. In all the mitzvahs that they accepted upon themselves with content. Kegon arayos, like arayos. Dachtiv, as it's written, v'yishma Moshe et ha'am b'cha l'mishpachotav. And Moshe saw the nation crying for their families.
You heard the nation crying
on behalf of, or with their families.
With their families, okay. What does that have to do with anything?
Because it shows that they were affected by the mitzvah.
What mitzvah? What kind of affecting did they have about Gilara? What about it?
That they couldn't be married.
To their wives.
To their wives?
They
couldn't get married to their,
A lot of people read this Gemara. Don't put two and two together.
Relative.
The Jewish people are upset that they can't marry their sisters. Isn't that crazy? The Jewish people are crying. Al iske mishpachosav. I wish shenasar lehem krovos. That's what Rashi says. Shenasar lehem krovos. They wish they could marry their mother. They wish they could marry their daughter. Right. So this says the Gemara that they were crying about it. Why in the world would the Jewish people want to marry their relatives?
Got to keep it in the family.
Keep what in the family?
Okay.
The beautiful idea from, I believe it's the Maharazu. I don't know for sure. explains that what is it that we all try to do when we try to we grow up, Mirat Hashem, we have a family, Mirat Hashem, we raise our children in the right way. How is it that we're going to raise children in the proper way when they have a clear identity of who they are?
Oh, the same, they grew the same way. So.
And what's going to happen if you take your connection to somebody else and you say that you're going to create somebody who's different from you and you're going to create a child together and thereby have a child who is mixed up? He or she has abilities that he or she got from the father and something got from the mother, and they're going to be all confused. What should I do? Should I be an accountant like my dad, or should I be a doctor like my mom? Says cholesterol, let's just fix it easily. We'll all just marry each other. We'll have our family business. This is the doctor family. And the doctors marry the doctors, and the children are doctors, and the accountants marry the accountants, which are accountants, and the store owner marries the store owner and has store owner children. And everyone's just going to know exactly what they have to do in life. Says Hashem that this is not how it's supposed to be. That when it comes to marriage, when it comes to engaging with other people, you definitely should be willing to compromise, be willing to develop, make room for people who are different from you. And specifically, this Nakuda is why they were crying. We want to be with people that are just like us. I don't want to talk to people that aren't like me. I don't want to raise children with somebody else who's not like me. I want to raise children with somebody who is exactly like me. Says Hashem, that's not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is not just to stay the way you are. The purpose of life is to grow, to develop, to be with people that are different than you. So you can learn from them and they can learn from you. You can make space for other people. You can be sensitive. You can compromise. And that's why the Hashem tells them, you can no longer marry your family. You have to marry someone who's different. It's a big, big Indian. Today, where you have social media and the only people that you're ever friends with are the people that are exactly like you, and the only people that ever like your posts are the people that agree with you, and the only people you ever look at on the internet are the things that you agree with, and we never take the time to look at other people that we disagree with. But that's the purpose of life, is to grapple with things that are different than us, people that we disagree with, so that we can grow as people and so that they can grow from us. Okay, that's a little Mr. Shmuz in the middle there. So that's what it says here. And the Jewish people were upset about it. And therefore, what happens? Adayin osin osa b'ktata deleka ksuba. When people get married nowadays, you bring two families together, there's always an argument. Not just because of the people in the marriage, but for the families. How much are you going to give into the marriage? How much are you going to pay into the marriage? And because these people are so different from each other, and they don't know each other, you know, very well. So then always when they're setting up the ksuba, what are you going to write in the ksuba? Nowadays, the ksuba is a standard text. But it used to be the ksuba, I'm going to give this much money. Anyone ever see filter on the roof? And so the families, they pledge different things to the marriage. I'm going to give them, you know, blankets and pillows, and I'm going to give them a lich, right? I'm going to give them different things, right? So that's what a ksuba used to be. It used to be like a dowry. It used to be like a commitment to the marriage. So nowadays, so says the Gemara, now everybody argues. Nowadays, we don't argue over the ksuba. We argue over, you know, who's paying for the flowers and who's paying for the photography and who's going to pay for their dira for the first year, whatever it might be. So everyone has got their own thing. But now this continues to Lo Ramu Ba Tigra. Every time there's a marriage, there's always going to be some kind of contention, and hopefully they can work through it themselves. Okay. Ad Khan. What?
I mean.
Ad Khan, the connection to Bris Mila. Now let's go on a tangent. The Gemara continues. He's okay, David, you want to take over? We're at Kol Mitzvah. What was it?
Okay.
Tanya Rav Shimon? Yeah,
Tanya Rav Shimon Moser. Omer, Kol Mitzvah, Shemot Yisrael, Adson, Aleim, Namisa, Beshas, Tiers, and Malchus. Any mitzvah that Yisrael, that the Jewish people gave their lives for in the time where the non-Jews were ruling over them, Tigon, Avodah, Skokal, Vimamila, for example, Avodah, Skokal, Avodah, Zara, and Bris Mila. Adayin, He, Musakas, Biyadim, is still held strong in the hands. I mean, they still take those mitzvahs very seriously.
And I kind of till today, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know anybody that does it about her, and everybody gets a first meal to play on her. Okay, keep going.
The whole mitzvah, Shalom Atri Shalatman, Ale Alami Sabashas, the Earth of Mathos, you can fill in as a new Ruf of Yadav. And any mitzvah that they did not give their lives for at the time when the Nazis were ruling over them, for example, tefillin is still like loose in their hands. I mean, they're not so makbid on those mitzvahs. Like
in what way we're not makbid? Maybe you could say, because nowadays we don't wear tefillin all day. The Gemara gives its own examples. Go ahead. Amar Rabbi Yanai.
Tefillin tzrich in gufnaki. For tefillin, in order to wear tefillin, you have to have a gufnaki, a better clean body. Kalisha bach nafayim. What does it mean to have a guf naki? Abai says that you can't pass gas when you're wearing
tefillin.
Mm-hmm. And Rava says that you can't sleep when you're wearing tefillin.
Nowadays, we assume those two are the same thing. You can't sleep because you're going to pass gas. Unknowingly. But okay, doesn't matter. Same type of thing.
And
we're not as careful today.
What they used to do.
You should wear tefillin all day.
No, I'm saying...
When they had to go to sleep.
Yeah. Did they take it off?
Yeah, they take it off at nighttime, yeah. Generally. Either two possibilities why they take it off. Either because they're going to go to sleep, or because Lila loves man tefillin. That's my focus, Shoshana. There's a famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that you can wear tefillin at night. If you needed to, which is why here you can say, when does it ever come up? It comes up every single winter.
They wore it from morning until the next morning. Did they make it a bracha on film?
I would say misafik, you wouldn't, but it depends. I don't think anybody actually did that. Because there's a gzeira against it anyway. But okay.
Then we asked, why am I crying to Elisha Bach Nefayim? Why do we call him Elisha Bach Nefayim? Anyone who wore tefillin, they would like rip their head off.
Or poke through their head, yeah.
V'hai Elisha maniach tefillin, and Elisha wore tefillin. You went out to the marketplace. He saw one of like the government guys running in front of him. Running after him. Once they got close enough to Elisha, not on Merosha, but off on the other. Elisha took the tefillin off of his head and he held them in his hand. Amalei Mabiyatka, and the officer asked him, what's in your hand? Amalei, so he said to him, Kanfei Yonah, the wings of doves. Pashadis Yado, Venimtu Ba, Kanfei Yonah, so he opened his hands to show them, and they were Kanfei Yonah. Lepichach, Hayikorin also, Baal Tnafayim. That's why we call Elisha Baal Tnafayim.
Okay, good. And the Gemara continues to talk about what's the importance of a dove. And talks about how the mitzvot are like our wings, and they protect us. Anyone know the Yehuda song about the dove? Nobody knows the Yehuda song?
Yehuda
exclamation point, yeah. Nobody knows?
There's a lot of Yehuda songs.
There's a lot of Yehuda.
Exclamation point.
The one about the dove.
One of a kind.
Yeah. The dove was extra special, because he was so pure and white.
Oh.
No, you don't know the song?
I don't know the whole song.
Anyways, it goes through the dove, and he was being trampled by all the other animals, etc., and he goes to Hashem and says, it's not fair. I don't have any way to get away from these people. And he says, okay, here, have wings. So then he takes the wings, and he goes back, and the animals are still fighting against him. And he tries to fly, but the wings are too heavy. And he can't get away from them because the wings are so heavy. So he goes back to Hashem and says, I can't do it. I can't. The wings are too heavy. I can't even move. So Hashem says, no, you have to use your wings and fly with them. If you're willing to use their wings, work hard to fly with the wings, so then you'll be able to fly away from them. That's what he does. And then Yehuda ends the song by saying that the wings are the Torah mitzvot, and if we're using the Torah mitzvot properly, then we won't be affected by bad things.
That's why we're compared to a dove.
That's part of why. This happens to be, this is because of the song. I believe it's Medrash. I don't know how all the details are in Medrash. But that story... It's actually based on a Gemara in Brachos, which similarly compares the Jewish people to a dove, and says the Torah mitzvos, which is another Leif Tahor song. Anyone know the Leif Tahor song? Mayona? Mayona, Mayona, Eina Nitzayles. Okay, it's another song. Eina Nitzayles. What?
I want to see your playlist.
My playlist? Either way, you can look these songs up online. So that's this is another instance of the Yona, how the Jewish people are related to a Yona. So, let me ask this question. I asked a couple of the guys. Why was the story of Elisha Bach Nefayim brought up in the Gemara? What's the point of the story? What did Rashi say? If you look at Rashi, the Amar Abiyana, it's still in Sri Chuskov Naki Shloya Piach Alma, right? The purpose that you can't, that tefillin have to be only worn when you are careful, when you have a guf naki, so that you don't come to ask them. Alma lo zahiri behu. You can see from here that the Jewish people weren't being careful about it because they were passing gas and whether it's filling on. Vishamina and mina, and we learn from there the fact that they had to, enact these stringencies. The lo masru aleha, they didn't sacrifice themselves for the mitzvah of tefillin. Ella Elisha levado. The only one who did was Elisha. Only Elisha sacrificed himself for the sake of tefillin. As you see from the story, he's being chased by the officers, and all of a sudden they come to him because he's wearing tefillin, but he's not afraid, he still wore the tefillin. Look at Tosfos. Omar Le Kanfayona, Tosfos Hare Shalom Maser Atzmo. Elisha is the story which proves to us that he wasn't sacrificing himself. Lo Maser Atzmo Lo Mar Tefillin Hei. He did not say that they were tefillin. There's a Rebbe in YU, maybe some of you know him, Rav Yitzchak Cohen. You know, Rav Yitzchak Cohen, big, tall, Cohen, older, huge hands. He was probably like 6'4", 6'5". Well, I think technically YFU, but I don't think anyone's in his year. He wasn't there when I was there. When I was there, he was in the first, or the old base. What do you call it? Cool. Basement?
Basement.
Oh. The annex, whatever you call it. Not the annex, the little basement. The Karlbach Minion.
Klein at 9.
Klein at 9. That's when Seder starts.
Yeah, it's supposed to start.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I didn't know Rabbi Sarfati was Rabbi Simon's shir, same base.
Yes.
The are there other shirim in the group?
And
the
Don Cohen.
Who? Of Don Cohen. Okay.
And then Mr. Yozak.
Arizak.
It's still it's still Yozak.
P Y P B and P.
He's YP.
He's YP.
It's still Yozak, but post pay Yozak he moved to.
Okay.
Because he has 2 shirs.
But the point is that Rabbi Cohen. Apparently, he said this. I can't imagine he actually did this. But apparently, Rav Yitzchak Cohen, when they asked him at the airport going to Israel, they asked him if he had any weapons with him. He said, yes, I do. I have my tefillin. I have my talis. I have my siddur. Based on a Rashi in Vayishlah. It was based on later on, referring back to the Harbi of Bakashi, whatever. But the point is that we should be proud of our tefillin. Even at the expense of maybe being caught and maybe being, it's a weapon because you can use your davening to change the world. It's your weapon. You can change things with your davening. So anyway, he's a very intense guy. If you've never heard of Rav Yitzchak Cohen, you wouldn't understand it. But that's like, oh, Mechayim Eisim. Okay, welcome. Longest 10 minutes of life. But the. Hopefully you're changing the world. Hopefully you're changing the world, yeah. So anyways, Rav Yitzchak Cohen had another story to express his starkness. Just one time, Rav Yitzchak Cohen used to be the Rebbe for the early admissions MTA guy. He used to be the MTA. You could go to YU as a 12th grader. And so he was in charge of that. So as you can imagine, 12th graders sometimes slack off a little bit. And one time this guy didn't come to shir. So he went to the dorms, the MTA dorms right next. Stranger, they used to be in Stranger, is that what it's called? Stranger?
Mm-hmm.
Stranger Hall? And now security building. So, So Rav Yitzchak Cohen went over there to go get the guy to come to shir. And he sees him, he's completely naked. So he sees him where he goes to him, he says, where are your tits? So that's Rav Yitzchak Cohen for you. Anyway, so he's not afraid of being like very stark. You know, so that's what he said. So Elisha Bar Kanafayim is not afraid of putting on tefillin. Not afraid of putting on his tefillin. So, but Rashi Batoso says he is afraid of keeping his tefillin on. He's afraid. All of a sudden the officer comes and scares him to say, I don't have tefillin. No, it's not tefillin. It's dove's wings. So says Toso, here you have a proof from Elisha Bar Kanafayim. That he was not Moser Nefesh, and that's why the Jewish people are still Marufa Hubiyadam, that we don't hold tefillin as dearly. We don't keep it as stark because of people like Elisha. So according to Rashi, Elisha is the good guy, and according to Tosfos, Elisha is the bad guy. Oftentimes we associate the word Elisha with the prophet, so we just assume that he's the good guy. But here, according to Tosfos, he's the bad guy. He was not Moser Nefesh for tefillin because he was afraid to talk about his tefillin to the officer. Who says that?
I think that he was.
Oh, okay. There's two possible ways you could. I guess there's a divergence about which Elisha you could, you know, have a first instinct about. Good. So we have a kasha for Rashi and we have a kasha for Tosfos. What's the kasha for Rashi? Rashi says he was mostly nefesh for his tefillin. Why is that a problem?
It's not one of the big three.
The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalek. famously that you only give up your life for three things. You give up your life for Gilarayos, Lodazara, and Shvichus Damim. Right, the big three. You can't kill anybody. You should be killed instead of killing somebody else. You should not commit. You should be killed instead of having illicit relations. And you should be killed instead of doing Avodah Zarah. And tefillin is not on that list. It happens to be there are a lot of exceptions to that rule. And one of those exceptions is in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. The Gemara and Sanhedrin tells us that Ki Asr Rav Dima Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shanu Ela Shelo B'Shas Tashmad. The only time that those that rule applies, that only the big three you can die for, that's when it's not B'Shas Tashmad. That's when it's a time of peace and serenity among the non-Jews. About B'Shas Tashmad. But when they're oppressing us, when the non-Jews are forcing us to do things, even for the smallest of mitzvahs, you should be killed and not to violate. What is persecution? That's a question. We know what it is. The question is, what about the in-between stages when maybe it's not? Even if it's not Shas Hashmad, the only time you do the big three, even when it's peace and peaceful times, that's when it's private. If you're out in the open, and it's a public display, even for Mitzvah Kala, my Mitzvah Kala. So what is Mitzvah Kala? Amar Rav Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, afilu shnuyei arach tzedimisayi. Even to change your shoelaces would be usur. If the shoelaces, the Rashi explains, the shoelaces are indicative of what you believe in. Whereas the Jewish people wore certain types of shoelaces, and the non-Jews wore different types of shoelaces. So you shouldn't wear non-Jewish shoelaces, similar to Chukas Akam. But says the Gemara, the Kama Parhesia, how much is public? How many people would it have to be in front of in order for it to be public that you should violate even the smallest of mitzvot? The concept of public is no less than 10. No less than 10. What is the source of this? I could have continued the Gemara. It's from this week's Parsha. From the Eda Hara Hazos. What does it mean, the Eda Hara? What does that mean? There were 12. The Eda Hara'a, the Eda, the group of the bad people, the evil Eda, was minus Yeshua and Kala, so it was 10. But what does that have to do with Parhesia, doing something publicly? Okay. But what is it, but why does that prove to you that 10 is a certain, threshold that you have to cross? It's actually a three-way Gezer Sheva. Chil Hashem, okay, good, but how do you connect to Chil Hashem? How do you get from the Merazim to Chil Hashem?
Eda.
You're missing the middle piece. It also is Toch HaEda. Betoch, the word Betoch, is also mentioned in another context. The Nikdashti Betoch B'nei Yisrael. So it's a three-way Gezerah Shava. Eda to Eda, Betoch to Toch, to Kiddush Hashem to Chil Hashem. So that's where we know 10 from. That's the Bavli's understanding of where you get 10 from. Where's the Yerushalmi's from? Not from Meraglim, but from the brothers, the Achiv Shel Yosef. Right? The Achim. How many brothers went down to Mitzrayim? 10. There were 12 brothers. Yosef was in Mitzrayim, and Binyamin stayed home. The Pasuk says they came to Mitzrayim, Betoch Habaim. They were among the people that came down to Egypt. The word betoch there again. So it just skipped over the Meraglim completely. What's the nafkamina between those two sources? This is like a sort of like a cutesy nafkamina because Rav Moshe says you shouldn't really apply it. You shouldn't really rely on it independently. But he says that if the source is the brothers of Yosef, the head of the Shvatim, right? So those are tzaddikim, the religious Jews. So you only can use religious Jews in a minyan. But if the source is the Meraglim, the Eda Hara, you mamash learn it from the words, the evil group. So then, what about someone who's not religious? Can you count them in a minion or not? Well, he's not like the brothers, but he's at least like the Meraglim. He's not doing anything bad. He might not be doing something good, but he's not bad. So that's the Rav Moshe uses as Sniflu Hakel to allow irreligious Jews to be part of the minion. Interesting Nafkamina. Interesting Nafkamina as to whether we possibly like Yerushalmi or the Bavli. Why would the Bavli not say Yerushalmi? Possibly because the Yerushalmi learned from Primat and Torah. We try not to learn things from Primatan Torah. Yerushalmi seems to not be so opposed, even though I think generally even the Baal is not opposed, and really really they should have learned this the Yerushalmi.
Do they just have to be Jews? Like, they don't have to be, like, general?
Yeah, they have to be Jews.
Even if...
With like, Yevet.
So say you have 9 guys, you know, the only from guy that you're down with them and like,
yeah. That's B'soch B'nei Yisrael. You are among the Jewish people. B'nekdash B'soch B'nei Yisrael. You should bring the Kedusha. No, you should have people responding to the extent that they can. The Chachil, you should have people responding for Dorin Shev Kedusha. But technically, when you daven Shemon Esrei, you're davening B'tzibor. That's considered Tzibor B'tzibor. Okay.
Even if they're not really davening?
Hopefully they're looking at a Siddur or something. Unclear. But the question is like this. That's according to Tosfos. According to Rashi. According to Rashi, Elisha Bakanafayim was allowed to be Moser Nefesh because this was Shas HaShmad. It was Baparhesya. It was in front of everybody. He was in the marketplace holding his tefillin. Everybody's watching. What's he going to do? So that he's allowed to give up his life and wear tefillin. It involves himself with tefillin. Says Tosfos, no, he wasn't involving himself with tefillin. He put it on, but then he took it off. Big shot. What are you actually sacrificing? Not being Moser Nefesh at all. Lo Moser Nefesh. He didn't say that it was tefillin. So therefore, we have Akasha. Because according to Tosfos, he wasn't Moser Nefesh, and he should have been Moser Nefesh. Why wasn't he Moser Nefesh? It's interesting that we're trying to now save Elisha's reputation. Why was Elisha not Moser Nefesh for his tefillin? Says Tosfos on Daf Mem Tes. Not over here, but Daf Mem Tes. Same story appears. Natsal Mirosha says Tosfos, V'yavagav domen b'sanhem shas, k'zeres ma'achos ha'fil ha'amis v'kala yehoray v'yavor, v'yavfil ishnu yarak z'masana, aser hainu mishum. The reason why a shoelace is important is because the Vishino Haraksa Misnahe Kovid Kochavim. When you change your shoelaces, you are then acting like a non-Jew. Vidome Shemoti Asma Michlal Yisrael. It's as if you are removing yourself from Klai. So yes, I don't want to be Jewish anymore. I'm going to wear the non-Jewish clothing instead. Avalhacha says Tosfos in Osaklum. Ella She'ein Lutzilim Barosho. Sha'achas. V'harbi Yisrael She'ein Lutzilim Kamoso. There are many Jewish people not wearing tefillin right now. Does that mean I'm not Jewish if I take my tefillin off? Says Tosfos, he didn't have to keep the tefillin on because there's nothing that explicitly shows that he's not Jewish in that moment. And therefore, says Tosfos, even though maybe he should have been Moser Nefesh, he should have sacrificed himself for the sake of tefillin, he was not obligated to do so because there's nothing that explicitly showed that he wanted to not be Jewish. It's just that he wasn't doing the mitzvah of tefillin. So it's very interesting. Shita from Tosfos that Araks the Masana is teaching us literally that even though Mitzvah Kala seems to be teaching us a leniency, it's also teaching us, or a stringency, it's also teaching us a leniency. A Kula, to the extent that something is only indicative of being not Jewish, that's when Shas HaShmad requires you to override the Mitzvah. But if there's a Mitzvah you just don't do and it doesn't show that you're not Jewish at all, so then you are allowed to violate that mitzvah even for Shas HaShmad and even before Hesya. So there's exceptions to the rule. So that's Tosfos' answer. He wasn't showing that he wasn't not Jewish and therefore it was okay for him to take off his tefillin. But nonetheless, it showed that he wasn't willing to be Moser Nefesh, which is why it's in the Gemara. So is he the bad guy? Yes, he's the bad guy in terms of not being Moser Nefesh, but he's not the bad guy in terms of doing something wrong that he was obligated to do. So that's Tosfos. What does the Ritva say? The Ritva says, "Parpeir Sharamban Zal Beferek Latem Bamet Tomin." The Ein Adam Chayv Limser Asmo Ella Al Mitzvos Lo Sasei. When does it say that you should give up your life when they want you to violate an Isser? Vafil Barach the Mesane Mishum Lo Tachul Bchukos Sagayim. That when it comes to the shoelaces, there's an Isser there to be like non-Jews, to wear Steph Curry sneakers. That's like the non-Jews do.
Kind of.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Really well.
I don't know if that's better or worse.
He's a Muslim, so like.
Is that true? No.
Also fighters are. He fasts Ramadan sometimes.
Oh, he did. That's right. He had that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
He said he did. Can't believe anything he says. Okay. Anyway. So obviously, Chukas HaGayim is more stringent than just something that non-Jews do, but it's something that they do religiously. Not necessarily religiously in the literal sense. Like they do it to another god, but they do it like. It's a thing that non-Jews do. Some people ask this question about other things. I know people that don't wear neckties because it's chukas hakam. I know people that don't wear graduation gowns because it's chukas hakam. They don't what?
Go skiing.
Go skiing. That's a different problem. That's a sakana issue.
Right. People don't like.
it. Really? Okay, I don't know about that.
Over any other.
So there is a machlokes. The Gra is famous for his statement on the Rama. The Rama tells us in Yeridea that if a person becomes a doctor, you're allowed to wear a lab coat or a doctor's coat, whatever. And he says the reason is because there's a benefit to that. There's a benefit to the fact that people can distinguish you as a doctor. I need to know who the doctors are. So if you wear a doctor's coat, that's justifiable, even though it comes from non-Jews. The idea being that if there was no good reason to do something the non-Jews are doing, you shouldn't do it.
How does it come from non-Jews?
Because the non-Jews started wearing lab coats as doctors. They came up with that. It's not a religious thing, but it's just something non-Jews do. Some people say that this refers to other things also. Like I said before, you know, wearing neckties. What does that have to do with non-Jews? That's what they did. They did not. They did the necktie.
It's really impossible to do a lot of things, you know, that aren't included going. Like everything that we do.
Yes, potentially. And that's what the Gra says.
By Goyim, and we use them to get around daily.
Say that again?
A lot of things are invented by Goyim.
Yeah.
That we use daily.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying the chapter. That's not clear, but some people say that. But that also has a benefit to it. We pass on like the Rama. There are some that are machmir like against the Rama. That even something which was just happened to be made by non-Jews. And even if it has a benefit, we shouldn't do that. We pass on that if it has a benefit, you're allowed to do it. So you can use the prakim, and you can wear graduation gowns, and you can wear a necktie, and whatever. But there's some that are machmir like the Gra.
So
here also, the shoelaces would fall into that category.
Sports stuff?
Depends why you're playing sports.
Right? Exercise.
If you're wearing a lion's piece, you definitely have to take it off right away.
You're basically a gladiator.
No, but no, it depends. It's an interesting question about how far do we take it. Certainly, there is an aspect of religiosity to sports, and people have to be careful about that. You have to always put sports into context. Especially if you live in Detroit, and there's no reason to be religious about it. Because what kind of religion is that? That's like a satanic religion, you know, you're like killing yourself. We'll see who they draft tonight. Oh, ho, ho. It'll be a big deal.
Yeah. Are they going to
trade up to get somebody better?
Yeah. All right. We just traded last night.
Am I halachically permitted to watch the draft?
What?
Am I halachically permitted to watch the draft?
Why are you doing it?
Entertainment.
Why do you need entertainment?
What time is that?
I don't know.
The best entertainment of the
or
not. I very much, I might also
sorry,
watch
I can't,
it.
I can't. Yeah, Mishmar.
Okay, good. So says the Ritva, the reason why you can't change your shoelaces is because of Chukas Akam. Avav Mitzvah Saseh, when it comes to Mitzvah Saseh, ain't other Chayv Lim Tarat. No, that's not a prohibition of any kind. And therefore, you don't have to follow that for the sake of giving up your life. You can violate that Mitzvah Saseh, even with Shas Hashmat. Because it's only Mitzvah Saseh. They didn't do like Elisha. They didn't even try. They didn't even try to wear this tefillin. It's just refraining from doing something, and for that, you're allowed to give up. You don't have to give up your life. When it says they didn't give up their life for tefillin, it doesn't mean that they have to give up their life. It's just that that's the natural consequence. If you're not stark about a mitzvah, so your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids aren't going to be as stark about that mitzvah too. If you never express how much you care about that mitzvah in the most extreme terms, so then it's going to always be floundering in the generations to come. Because you never express to them how important that mitzvah is to you. If you don't express how important it is to come when you have time and learn, you know, when you have a week of vacation in summer, so then your children aren't going to want to learn also when they have free time. So, Shkayach Gadol to everybody here. Miuhani Mili Shalom B'Shas HaShmad, Avav B'Shas HaShmad, Imrot to the Kaddish Es Hashem, Afil HaMitzvah Aseh HaShut B'Yadav. So why is it then that Rashi tells us that Elisha was Moser Nefesh? Because he's allowed to be if he wanted to be. You can volunteer to Moser Nefesh. This is a huge Kiddush. It's a huge Kiddush, and it's a big Machlokas. Are you allowed to voluntarily give up your life? That's what the Ritva says over here.
Is that suicide?
Maybe it's suicide, but maybe you're mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Maybe that wouldn't be called suicide if it's a Kiddush Hashem. That's a good question. If you look at the Rambam, a couple of sources down. It's called something. It's called elective suicide or something. There's a name for it. It's a type of suicide where you want somebody to kill you. Like you do something dangerous so the cops will kill you. Right? Suicide by cop or something. So like, there are different versions of that. What did you say? Probably not a good joke, whatever it was.
No, it was good. It wasn't kosher.
Okay. Also not good. Says the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Kol mi shenemar bo yavor v'al yeharik. Anytime you have the instruction that you should violate the mitzvah and not be killed, v'nerag, and then you decide to be killed, v'lo avar, and you don't do the iser, harei zem eschayev v'nafsho. Now, it's a hard thing to actually impose because the guy's dead. But if you choose to be killed because somebody told you, I'm going to kill you or unless you eat this cheeseburger, and you say, I'm going to be mekadeshem shemayim, I'm going to not eat the cheeseburger, says the Rambam, you're chayv misa. Because you didn't listen to the Torah tells you, v'chayv bohem. It's not just that you have a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, but you also have an obligation of v'chayv bohem. If you look at the Ritzvah and the Rashba, and I'll try to get through this so that we don't have to just leave over one source for the end. But if you look at the Ritzvah, you understand that the obligation of Kiddush Hashem means that for these big three, you should give up your life. For Shas Hashmad and for Hestia, you should give up your life. What if I volunteer to give up your life? I don't have to do the mitzvah of Inikdash Yisrael from Yisrael, but I can choose to do the mitzvah of Inikdash Yisrael from Yisrael. There's no other priority. It's just whether or not I want to do that mitzvah or whether I have to do that mitzvah. Do I have to put on tefillin or can I put on tefillin? Do I have to give up my life or can I give up my life? Says Rif, you can choose to give up your life if you want to do, even if you're not obligated to. Says the Rambam, no. The Pasuk says, v'chai bahem, you not only have an option to give up your life, you have an obligation to keep your life. So says the Rambam, if you don't fulfill the mitzvah of v'chai bahem, so then you're chayiv misa. Unclear exactly again how you ever actually incriminate somebody for that. But the point is that that the Rambam would tell you that you're chayiv misa for giving up your life. Comes Alecha Mishnah and teaches us a little bit more about Elisha Bat Kanafayim, because according to the Rambam, we've got a big problem. Once you say that it's one of the big three, so he should have given up his life, he shouldn't have taken off his tefillin. Once you say that it's not one of the big three, so then he shouldn't have even tried to put his tefillin on. What are you doing? Why are you even trying to put your tefillin on if you know they're going to kill you for it? So Mineu Bey, Elisha's got problems. And that's why you have them on focus, Rashi and Tosos. Was he the good guy or the bad guy? Because he's doing some good things. And he's doing some bad things. He's putting his tefillin on, but then he's also taking them off. So which one is he? What's he trying to do? It says Alecha Mishnah Big Chiddush. I'll just say it outside. You can look at it yourself. Elisha had the obligation to put on tefillin because it was not one of the big three. And therefore, you have to be Moser Nefesh for the sake. Sorry. It was a Shas Hashmad. It was a Shas Hashmad. And therefore, you had to try to do the mitzvah. That's what the Rambam says. In a Shas Hashmad, not the Rambam, anybody. The Gemara tells us that if it's a time of oppression, you have to do the mitzvah. Doesn't matter what kind of mitzvah, even if it's a shoelace. The Rambam does not answer like the Ritzvah, or like Tosfos to say, oh, well, it wasn't expressly against the Jewish people, or it was only mitzvah. He doesn't say like that. The Rambam holds, according to Lech Mishnah, that you are obligated to give up your life even for a mitzvah sase, and even if it's not expressly telling somebody that, look, I want to be a non-Jew. Even for mitzvah tefillin. You have to be Moser Nefesh for tefillin. That's what the Gemara means here, that he wasn't Moser Nefesh. That's a problem. She should have been Moser Nefesh. So that's why Elisha puts his tefillin on. Then why did he take him off? Why did Elisha take him off? This is towards the bottom of it. This is the third to last line in the beginning line. Dikvar kiye mitzvah tefillin ba'otayom. Because once he puts them on, it was mekayim his mitzvah already. And now he no longer has to do that mitzvah. The mitzvah has been fulfilled. And therefore, when the guy comes and says, put him up, you know, what do you got there? What tefillin do you have? Show me that. If that's tefillin, I'm going to kill you. He says, I don't have tefillin anymore. What do you mean you don't have tefillin anymore? You're supposed to be Moser Nefesh, a field of mitzvah kala. Says the Rambam, or at least according to Lech Mishnah, there's no mitzvah here. There's absolutely no mitzvah. It's not even a mitzvah kala.
Why was he wearing them?
Because he had to move kind of mitzvah.
Why is he wearing the mishak?
Why didn't he take them off right away?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because he was like, wasn't really risking. I mean, he just like made a statement.
He's wearing it until he didn't need it. Anymore.
He had to. He wore them because he said that he could keep continue doing the mitzvah. You can always volunteer to do the mitzvah more. But that's a good question. I don't know the exact circumstances, but the point is, he had to put them on because he's obligated to put them on because it's Shas Hashmad, it's time of oppression. But once the officers come, so then he takes them off because it's no longer obligatory for him, because it's not even a mitzvah kala. It's not even a mitzvah anymore. You can be mekayim a mitzvah, but it's not really an obligation anyway in terms of being yehari v'ayavah. So those are different approaches as to what Elisha Bakanafayim was doing. Was he a good guy or a bad guy? And if he was a bad guy, so what was he doing at the beginning? What was he doing at the end? Those are different approaches based on the Rishonim. Okay, Mirat Hashem, tomorrow I'm thinking of doing a Parsha Sugya. Parsha Sugya. I'm